direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Happy Valentine's Day. Think about Valentine's Day. You think about love. You think about love. You think about doo-wop. Well, I do anyway. All right, so this hour, Steve Probst is joining us. You should know Steve from his radio shows, his record collecting days, and my God, voluminous author of all sorts of things. Most recently, those old school records, which we talked about when he was joining us last week, and undoubtedly will again. That came out a year ago right now. So those old school record, 1,000 selected R&B and rock and roll and soul, 45 RPM singles. Yeah, great, great stuff. But here is the deal. Steve is giving us an hour of his time and only that. So very often, the hour ends and that's when many of you are calling. Well, there won't be any holdover tonight, so if you want to chime in and join us in process, call early. 888-876-5593. 888-ROLLYE. Now, you have been warned, and we welcome Steve Probst to, let's see if I can get the magic twanger here. I should have had this ready before him, but oh no, I just sit here, to WGN Radio. How's it going, Steve? How are you, Steve?
Say to you, and it's going okay.
Excellent.
Out here.
Excellent. Yes, I heard you were a little under the weather, so I was concerned, but you're sounding great.
Yeah, the weather improved.
Good. Excellent. All right. So before we even get into all the things I wanted to talk about, last night someone had asked about the history of Times Square Records, the record shop, and of course the label. And as I was going off on a tangent in many directions, of course you knew that I'd have to discuss the Five Sharps and Stormy Weather. Uh-huh. And I figure you'll be the definitive answer. Now, I came to the conclusion a while ago that the 45 did not exist for a lot of reasons. But then I read somewhere that Marsha Vance, the late Marsha Vance, claimed she had seen a copy. But I'm sure you've probably tried to track it down. Did Jubilee ever press the Five Sharp Stormy Weather, the original, not the 1964 remake, on 45?
Yeah, well, bootleggers had fun pressing it up. So,
yes.
Those are the only copies I have, but to my knowledge, 78 only.
That was what I thought too. Not only the year 1952 and Jubilee and all that, but also there was a vinyl shortage with the Korean conflict and all sorts of things. So I didn't figure it existed. Val Shively never saw a copy. So if you haven't seen one either, then that's going to be the definitive word on that.
Well, that's where it's going to be until somebody actually proves they have it. And I don't. What happened to Marsha Vance's copy?
She didn't have it. She was interviewing someone, a member of one of the groups who had the record and showed it to her. And I forget the member,
no
but he died in 1983. And so,
wow.
I
had not heard that story.
Yeah, I think that Unca Marvi, from all his doo-wop writings online,
sure,
actually chronicled that. And so, unfortunately, Marsha's been gone since 88, and the guy who she saw the record with was died in 83. So if there was a copy, it's long gone now.
Yeah, well, you know, doo-wop is full of rumors, and did this happen, and could this possibly exist? And sometimes yes, and sometimes no. But in this case, I'd say it's a definite maybe.
Right. Yes, exactly. Now, of course, you are infamous for, and I won't say it's an argument settler, but it certainly shows all sides of the coin on what was the first rock and roll record. So I got to ask, did you ever think of doing what was the first doo-wop record?
G by the Crows would be a good candidate, but wow, you know, Doo-Wop sort of is the child of R&B vocal harmony. You know, the early harp tones and the early Drifters and Clovers. Those groups were not doo-wop, but here comes Frankie. Frankie Lyman and the Teenagers, yeah. Why Do Fools Fall in Love? And suddenly doo-wop takes its place. So I think that doo-wop started with Why Do Fools Fall in Love. Before that, it was R&B group harmony.
You know, I tried to track this down, and the way I went about it was, okay, what's the first song I can think of that had doo-wop in the background? Because, of course, you're absolutely right. Uh-huh. This was vocal group harmony. The word doo-wop itself was decades later. But the Delta Rhythm Boys in 1945, just a-sitting and a-rocking.
Okay, well, sure. But that was not the that was the background harmony. It wasn't the point of the record.
How about Mary Lee by the Rainbows?
Okay, well, that's a good one. That's 1954. So,
well, same as okay. G by the Crows, so that would be an easy fight.
we could live on this tangent for a while.
Well, and it's actually a lot of fun, I think. And as far as hits, I came up with probably the Turbans' When You Dance, the first big hit, although G by the Crows arguably big as well. But as I say, it wasn't until probably 1971 that the phrase became well-known, and I know a lot of people attributed that to the late Gus Gossert, but it turned out that it was at least a decade before that. The Chicago Defender wrote of doo-wop in 1961. So when did the phrase come into being?
Well, the first record I know of that actually has the phrase doo-wop is Bring Back Those Doo-Wops by the Bagdads, and that's really late, like 1968.
Yeah.
That the Bagdads were an extension of the 16s,
right.
And recorded for the Double Shot label, you know, successful because Bretton Wood recorded for Double Shot. So Bring Back Those Doo-Wops, which was sort of those oldies but goodies remind me of you, you know, a throwback type record, was the first example I know of that particular spelling, doo-wop, in a doo-wop record.
Right. Right. And Double Shot, of course, was Irwin Zucker, who must have been the world's greatest promoter as far as that went. This guy was...
You know, I talked to him once. I cold called Irwin Zucker. And he says, I only take calls after midnight. So I thought, well, heck with it.
That's so funny because he'd been on my show a few times and it was after midnight.
Yeah. So. Hal Wynn and Irwin Zucker were a couple of people I would have been... I talked to both of them. Hal Wynn was more, you know, their labels, they were partners for quite a while, I think. And Hal Wynn sort of told me a little bit about Double Shot Records and his partnership with Irwin Zucker and how he named Bretton Wood and little tidbits like that. It was quite the conversation.
I'll bet. Those are wonderful
questions. I should have asked them a few. I did, I learned a few things.
Yeah, it's funny because, of course, all the articles you see now about Bretton Wood, of course, Alfred Smith, they make it seem like he came up with this on his own in 1961. I'm like, I don't think so. I think you probably want to talk to Irwin and Hal about that. So
Bretton Wood told me something very interesting.
Yeah,
he never really. These days, well, I don't know about these days, but in the Art LeBeau days before Art passed away, if Art threw a concert, Bretton Wood was sure to be on it because that's a SoCal favorite artist, you know. I mean, probably the most enduring artist of the whole period. But Brenton told me that he never really had the chops to do live performance, or in the early days at least. He preferred to be in the studio and didn't have the background.
Stage presence,
you know, generally artists that record have the background of being a live act.
Yeah.
Well, it was just the opposite with him. He did the recording and then finally figured out how to take his act to the stage and please his audience that way. But it was backwards for him, if you follow my drift.
No, absolutely, because I know originally he was a high school track star in Compton, and learned to play piano, a few other things, got into the Little Freddie period. I still laugh every time I play Too Fat, Big as a Pig. But that said, yeah, he didn't have a stage presence or anything, and I would bet Art LeBeau probably helped him with that along the way.
Well, I would think Art LeBeau helped a lot of people with a lot of things.
Yes, yes, indeed. We're talking with Steve Probst, and I don't yet have on the website links to all of his books, but I'll tell you what, if you go to Amazon and just put in Steve Probst, P-R-O-P-E-S, you will see everything from the 1973, those oldies but goodies, A Guide to 50s Record Collection, onto these old school records, so and so much in between, and we'll talk about them all. But if you have questions, sometimes you call me and ask me things that I just flat out cannot answer. Here's the guy who can. In the meantime, I know if you're listening to the show, you love radio. And if you love radio, you probably know all about Bob Crane. And if you don't, you should. Bob Crane was, like the rest of us, very disgusted with the state of radio years ago and how the newer models all had one thing in common, lousy reception. And he determined that he was going to just do it better. And boy, did he. Today, there are a number of radios that Bob Crane puts out, and all of them have in common just terrific AM and terrific FM reception. The CC Radio 3 is the almost everything radio with the addition of Bluetooth. You've now got, everything you want and sounding good, too, sounding a lot better from any smartphone speaker, that's for sure. And if you listen primarily to voice content, the CC Radio 3 is arguably worth the price alone. It's got separate bass and treble controls adjusted to your perfect pitch to immerse yourself in audio clarity. It's got, in addition to great reception on AM and FM, the emergency capabilities as well. NOAA weather and the weather alert and the 2-meter ham band. Yeah, it'll run on the power cord, of course, but if you put a set of batteries in there, it's going to play for over 170 hours. You can go to ccradio.com anytime and read all about it, ccradio.com. It's the CC Radio 3. If you can't go online, they've got the world's best customer service. Call them at 800-522-8863, 800-522-TUNE. They'll send you a catalog in the mail so you can glance to your heart's content. But if you can go online, the only thing I'm going to tell you is if you're a radio lover, you're going to find something you got to have. Maybe it's the CC Radio 3. You check it out. You tell them Raleigh sent you on WGN Radio.
You're a cool, crazy kitten, and I love you, booby, abby, trimly and pretty. I don't mean maybe, booby, abby, booby, abby. Mad about you all the time.
Booby, abby, booby, abby, booby, abby.
You're a real gone cookie, and I love you, booby, abby, dancing up the storm. Till your feet get warm, booby, abby is a hobby with you.
Booby, abby, booby, abby, booby, abby.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Most people think about the Platters and their Mercury period, all those pop standards that Buck Graham loved so much. But to me, it was Federal in 1954. And I tried to think, what would be my all-time favorite doo-wop record? It's hard to pick, and I've got a whole list, but I've decided that it's Vuvi Avi. Now, I'll put you on the spot, Steve Probst. What's your favorite? And I know it's impossible to pick, but just off the top of your head.
Well, okay, I sort of programmed myself to pick a favorite Valentine's love type record. So
let's go there. Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. Now I'll start with one that actually charted on KFWV 1 week only, but a real West Coast classic. This might tilt heavily towards the West Coast. Beware by Jesse Belvin. Wow, oh, what a record.
Absolutely. And his wife wrote it. Oh man, that's a wonderful song.
Yeah, and it's sort of a prototypical love song. Another love song by another giant L.A. Vocalist who I got pretty friendly with was Richard Berry's Together. It's pretty obscure, but man, what a record! What
yes.
a song! What a performance!
Yes.
You're familiar with it, I'm sure.
Yes, and you...
Together by Richard Berry.
Right.
Okay, now moving east a slight bit, we come up with Sincerely by the Moonglows.
Of course.
We've got The fourth and fifth are sort of tough. I guess I'd have to go with I Only Have Eyes for You by the Flamingos. And one that's not exactly a love song, but it's about love gone away. Just a definitive record that brings about that feeling is the Skyliner, Since I Don't Have You. Okay, those are five records. Now, tell me why I'm wrong.
No, I absolutely won't. And they're all classics, other than the Richard Berry that very few people have heard, and maybe we'll play that next. But sure, you know, I Only Have Eyes for You, or Sincerely, or, you know, the Skyliners, you name it. It's just great stuff. Now, when you were talking about Love Gone Wrong, my favorite like that would have to be All Alone by the Channels. So,
wow.
Yeah.
How about Love Gone by the Enchanters?
Okay. Yeah.
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 Okay.
And
now we can start playing this game all night.
Oh, you betcha. And of course, you know, you were responsible in many ways for keeping doo-wop alive with a doo-wop society. Is there any remnant of that still around L.A.?
Not that I know of. All the feuds that came out of it are still around, but not the actual member. The doo-wop society no longer meets, no longer gives shows. People capable of performing and drawing the crowds, the big names, are unfortunately no longer with us. Oh, another song that another group I was thinking of, Could This Be Magic by the Doves.
Oh, the Doves, and that's absolutely New York centric. Yes.
Yeah, I had to throw in a New York record.
Oh yeah.
But the doo-wop society, unfortunately, no longer doo-wops.
Yeah, and I understand that, because you're right. Who would you book? But the saddest part to me is the frustration that when we leave the earth, it won't be long before there's basically no remnants of this. I don't know anything that really will keep this alive. Do you?
Well, the records still exist, and the competition for the records still exists, even among people that weren't around when the records came out. I don't know. It's hard to say, but I'll keep writing those books. And 20 years ago, they would have been bestsellers. Now you try to hook people in by talking about things that they weren't familiar with on a first-person basis, try to get them to, spark their interest in trying to find out more and looking for the records and looking for the sound. That's the best I can do. You do your part, and I do my part, and who knows what the future holds in that regard. I mean, come on, pre-war music, blues and country and those forms of pre-war records are very, you know, Robert Johnson.
Sure.
And the blues tradition from the 1930s is still very much alive, and very few people are around that I know of that were active in those days. So I don't give up hope. It was a real form that dominated for probably a decade and a half. So I think I haven't lost hope.
Good. And, a decade and a half, but, of course, thanks to Art LeBeau, really until very recently in Los Angeles with regular concerts that were heavily attended.
Yeah, they were. It was a specific audience and a specific fan base. But, he had that going on. He knew how to promote it, that's for sure.
Absolutely.
So I guess it's up to us to try to promote it as best we can.
Yeah, good luck to that. But you betcha we'll at least talk about it for the next half hour, and hopefully someone will join us. So, like I say, you call me all the time. I know nothing compared to Steve Probst. So 888-876-5593, 8888-ROLLYE on WGN Radio.
And forever be No, it's not bad.
It's not bad.
It's more than I can bear.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. I'm so glad that Steve Probst is joining me. Brought that up because I wouldn't have thought of it, Steve. And, you know, to me, that record is so odd. It seems like it's fighting itself. And the girls in the background, didn't they later become the Blossoms when they added Darlene Love?
Yeah, yeah. They were they were the Dreamers, and I guess they went through several name changes, but the main name change was from the Dreamers to the Blossoms. Richard was very influential. Charles Wright told me that he wrote the song Eternally off of Together.
Yeah.
That was his inspiration for that giant L.A. hit Eternally that came out on about 16 different labels thanks to Huggy Boy.
Right. Well, exactly right, that he pressed up in his garage.
Yeah, really. Hey, can I tell you, Art? Since we were talking about Art LeBeau, I have a story that you might enjoy.
Oh, yeah.
Now, Art LeBeau, out of the blue, if I have your permission.
Absolutely.
Art LeBeau, out of the blue, shut down Original Sound Records. He got an offer he couldn't refuse. He had that little bungalow-type office at in West Hollywood that was just too valuable to keep operating as a record label. So he literally just walked away, left all the contents in the building, hired a couple of security guards, put up a fence. But you think that's going to keep the record fanatics, the vinyl fanatics, and the people that like to embellish their own collections with Art LeBeau material? So that didn't work. You know, these collectors came in and bribed the security guards and walked away with.
Oh my God!
Well, I remember one guy walked into the Orange County Record Show with box sets of oldies but goodies albums, Lance Romance singles on a short-lived Art LeBeau label, all sorts of different 45s. These collectors went in and also got signed Art LeBeau checks that I think are still being given out as tokens of history at record show. You know, buy a record and get an Art LeBeau check for for the price of nothing. His divorce papers were in a desk, and Art LeBeau fan now owns Art LeBeau's divorce papers. So
I would love to see that.
Was looted. It was looted pretty completely.
Yeah, I would. You know, I've still got a copy, and you probably do too, of Sears suing Ritchie Valens's mother for the guitar. And you know, I think Art LeBeau's divorce paper would go so nicely with that. So, how can we get a copy?
I don't know who has it. Maybe they're listening tonight. Call up if you have Art LeBeau's divorce decree.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm sure because they probably would have
with it.
Probably would have had all that oldies but goodies game that he was marketing for a while. There were probably a lot of those. And
yeah, a friend of mine was had the job of trying to promote those games at department stores. It didn't really happen. I think I still have a copy of that game in the garage. I should break it out and try to play it.
Yeah, I've got a copy. In fact, he actually sent me an oldies but goodies jacket because I sold so many on KOA.
Wow.
So, but I mean, I'm sure there were gold records. I mean, think about the memorabilia that would have been in that office.
Oh yeah, and lots of 45s, lots of photos, lots of weird stuff that. How about Art LeBeau bobbleheads?
Yes, absolutely. I'm surprised they don't have them for the back of the Chevy, so you know you can kind of have the eyes blinking with the turn signals.
Yeah, Art LeBeau will always be with us if you have an Art LeBeau bobblehead.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. No. Well, you know, it was between Art LeBeau and Huggy, it really was a tale of two people because I think that I always thought musically that Huggy Boy was absolutely, to my mind, more in tune and more in love with the stuff that we were in love with. But Art LeBeau was a pure businessman. He was bright.
Oh, yeah. ask his assistant Paul. It was not a happy. It was not a happy separation when that happened.
Yeah. Oh, I'll bet. I'll bet. But yeah, if Huggy had just 1/10 of the business sense of art, it would have been amazing.
Well, his horse never came in. You know, come on.
Well, you know, that's right. And when you say that, I'll always laugh when he got it for tax evasion. And he said to the judge, "Well, Your Honor, I didn't know I was supposed to give the government a cut." And
Well, Huggy told me a story about the IRS visiting him, and the closet behind his desk was loaded with, this is when pens were valuable.
Yeah.
You know, you get, if you visit a gas station, you get a free pen these days, but they were valuable at one time. He had a closet full of pens, and he had to prop his chair that he was sitting in, talking to the IRS against the closet door, because the closet door is about to pop open.
Oh, God.
And all these pens would come flying out, and they'd be held against him. Huggy Boy told me this story about John Dolphin had some tax problems, and I think it was tax problems, some sort of court proceeding, and Huggy Boy testified for John Dolphin and helped get him off. And so John Dolphin comes up to Huggy after the trial or the hearing and says, "Huggy Boy, you're my white angel." And that was, I don't think Huggy ever took that to the air, but that would have been a good one.
Oh, absolutely. And of course, you know, Dolphins of Hollywood was just tremendous. And as you well know, but as other people didn't, the name was basically a spoof, because black people couldn't own a business in Hollywood. So he put Dolphins of Hollywood in South Central.
Yeah, he said, if I can't go to Hollywood, I'll take Hollywood down to South L.A. And he did.
Well, yes, and that all that central, all those areas down there were just amazing. And, of course, you know, seeing Huggy Boy in the window and all that, it didn't get better than that.
No, it didn't. But the LAPD wasn't crazy about all those kids coming in from Hawthorne and South Bay, and they tried to chase them away. We don't want you kids here buying these records, so don't come back. Don't go in that store.
And, right. Yeah, we don't want you anywhere near Vernon and Central.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
So just a couple of stories to you know, remind you that people are still talking about these very influential people in L.A. During the day. You know, I went to, I don't know if you know that, but Art LeBeau had a, Don Barrett gave a interview with LeBeau, and Lane Quigley had an extra ticket, and he invited me to come up and use his ticket for this evening with Art LeBeau. So I asked Art, I said, "Okay, you know, we all know your name was Art Nguyen. How'd you get the name Art LeBeau?" And he said, "It was the last name of the secretary at a radio station in San Francisco where he started out. He just took her last name." But I should have asked him this story. If he remembered one time on, what was it? KFBD became KGBS, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay. I remember one time he played Tallahassee Lassie by Freddie Cannon, and he said, "Don't call me complaining about people from East L.A. Quit calling up and complaining about she's my Tallahassee Lassie down in West L.A.
Oh, no. That's hilarious.
He was he was upset because he was getting all these complaint calls from East L.A. about this reference to West L.A.
Which, of course, it wasn't. Right. Oh, that's great. LA. Yeah. Just some wonderful times. And, of course, you know, now the only time you're going to hear that kind of radio is if somebody has a show on public broadcasting like you used to.
Or on the Internet.
Well,
tons of shows on the Internet.
Right.
Playing.
Right, you can't
you know,
do that.
I mean, who doesn't have an Internet radio station these days?
That's true, including Wayne Quigley, the Memory Lane show.
Sure, absolutely. It's where you go to hear any kind of music you want to hear. There's a lot of rare music being played. You just have to know how to find it, but it's not that difficult.
No, you know, you're right. And that is maybe the real upside of the internet. And so far, at least, while YouTube goes on rampages under copyright and all that kind of crap, so far, they haven't really, in any way that I can see, removed any doo-wop or any of the obscurities, LA oldies that we love. We're talking to Steve Propes. And if you want to join in, this is the time, 888-876-5593. And Steve is absolute royalty. Interviewing the likes of Joe Turner and Ike Turner and Curtis Mayfield and Bo Diddley and Bobby Day. Oh, yeah, love Bobby Day. All right, of course, Richard Berry, too, and Don Julian, and on and on and on. So, you got questions, Steve has answers right here on WGN Radio.
Gee whiz, I can't believe that you love me. I can't believe that an angel like you could fall in love with me so tenderly. Gee whiz, why do I thrill when you kiss me? My heart stands still when I'm holding your hand. The feeling is oh, so grand. Whoop, so grand. How do you talk to an angel? What words should I say?
I'm Raleigh James, talking with Steve Propes, and it's interesting because the topic originally, as Steve brought up, was, yes, romantic doo-wop, and I don't think it gets more romantic than Bob and Earl, and I know you have certainly interviewed Bob, probably Earl too, Steve.
Yeah, well, I interviewed Bobby Day on my TV, cable TV show.
Yeah.
Bobby Ralph on, he was the follow-up to Bobby Day. Bobby Day left Bob and Earl after he hit with Rockin' Robin. They had, so the Harlem Shuffle, Bob and Earl was Bobby Ralph. It's confusing. I'll make it more confusing, but Earl was always Earl Nelson.
Right.
And Gee Whiz, my God, what a great song. And, of course, my top five or top six will change every 30 seconds. So, you know, you caught a snapshot of me. There's so many great records out there, but that's one of them. I'm surprised you didn't play Angel Baby as your favorite.
Yeah, well, we know what I think of that.
I meant my worst records of all time. I thought of a record that always gets turned off when I hear it start. It's Beep Beep by the Playmates.
Oh.
For some reason, I cannot stand that record.
Well, it's the definition of wimpy white, that's for sure.
Yeah.
No doubt they were from Connecticut. But what's interesting about that, I always think about that record because, of course, it was one of the first rock and roll albums when Roulette released At Play with the Playmates. And, you know, back then you'd see the album charts and be things like Theme from South Pacific. So to have a group like the Playmates actually have an album, that's pretty out there.
Well, yeah, but Playmates had some decent records. I mean, What is Love? I like that one.
Joanne. Okay. Yeah, Joanne. Right.
Joanne, yeah, yeah. Sure. That's up there with Old Julie by the Crescendos.
Okay.
that kind of sound.
Yeah. Yeah, no, but of course, you know, Beep Beep was going to be a huge hit. Novelty Records, and nobody ever wants to hear them again. Like, how many people are requesting the Nutty Squirrels?
Yeah, well, is pretty good. Actually, that's a jazz record.
Yeah.
With a couple of voices spliced in. So,
yeah. Yeah, Sasha Berland, I think, was the guy from that. Yeah.
Oh, okay. See? the knowledge we can exchange just in a short period of time, it's just astounding.
Well, it is. And I just hope that it will not, not fade away, because I do worry about that. I know when I talked to Val Shively, he's like, nope, nobody's calling wanting records anymore. And really worrisome.
Well, I try to worry about other stuff. I try real hard to worry about other stuff.
Right. Absolutely. Now let me ask you, because you've been writing these books quite a while, and of course, in order to do that, it's one thing to read them, and they're just great to read. But when you get down to all the research that goes behind writing them, because you want to get it right, obviously, and that takes a lot of digging, as firsthand. When you did L.A. R&B vocal groups 1945 to 1965, which is those old school records. Let's go with that, the latest book, and from last year, 1,000 Select R&B Rock and Roll Records. When you were researching that, was there anything you discovered that you did not know?
Well, lots, but I can't tell you offhand, but I'll tell you one little, it's not a dirty little secret, but it's a sort of a ubiquitous secret. People like me always insert one or two mistakes to see who's... copying my mistakes I put in unique mistakes to guard against people just copying my books wholesale.
That's brilliant. Now let me ask you, hopefully the perpetrators would catch on and not do it, but has anybody called you on any of this, not knowing you were doing that, to say, you got this wrong?
Well, if they do catch me doing that, I can use that as my excuse.
I love it. Well, Steve, I promised I wouldn't keep you more than an hour. I won't, but can we do it again?
Yeah, let's do it. You pick the night, and we'll do 1 hour again. Sure.
I'm looking forward to it.
Always enjoy this.
Likewise. Talk to you soon, I hope. Thank you, Steve.
Okay, Wally. Good night.
So Steve Probst, just the best. And believe me, I could have kept him all 3 hours. But we got an hour, and I was glad to have it, and I was happy to hog him. Though next time I expect your calls, because like I say, you'll ask me, and I won't know. Next 2 hours, I don't know, maybe we'll talk about St. Valentine, or we'll play romantic doo-ups like All Alone. I don't know. You name it on WGN Radio.